Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is what it is all about. I want to help you liberate yourself from problems with food. So, let me ask you something. By the way, I'm trying to go, I'm going live. Okay. As I was speaking, I was multitasking, trying to go live on Instagram. I am now live and very pixelated, but oh well, better than nothing, right? So, if you would like to join me here in the studio, if you have any questions, the number here is 818-602-4929. Feel free to call in and ask me anything about what is eating at you. Because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, compulsive eating, any kind of disordered eating, eating that makes you feel bad and feel bad about yourself, the real problem is not food. The problem is what's eating at you. So, speaking of food, let me ask you something. How often do you lose control over food? Maybe you wake up every day vowing to be good and stick to your diet. So you eat right, you go to the gym, you drop a few pounds even. You dream of finally reaching your ideal weight, and maybe you do, until something happens and you go off that diet. So you allow yourself some forbidden foods, then you feel guilty. To cope with that guilt, you polish off the rest of that dessert, pizza, bag of chips, whatever you were eating. And you tell yourself you're going to be good, you're going to start tomorrow. And when it is time to get back on track, there are so many dieting choices. Weight Watchers, Paleo, Whole30, South Beach, Mediterranean, low carb, high carb, liquid, cookie diet, ketogenic. There's so many choices. You start another diet only to get derailed again and gain back the weight you just lost. I'm trying to figure out what is going on with my image. But you know what? For you guys watching, you're just going to get an interesting view of a pixelated me. I look like a cartoon character, kind of. So maybe you are ready to get off that diet roller coaster, but you don't know what to do instead of dieting. You're afraid that if you're not on some kind of diet, you're going to pack on the pounds. And you're afraid you're always going to look like a before photo. That slim, fit after photo that you have in your head, the one that you're going to post on Instagram before and after, it all seems like an impossible dream. Well, guess what? Doesn't have to be that way. I am here to help you change the way you feel about yourself and about food. And it's not just about finally being able to fit into those thin clothes in your closet or those thin clothes you're going to buy when you lose X amount of weight. I want to help you break free of the preoccupation with food and dieting, because for so many people, the goal is not just changing the number on the scale. You know how to do that. I'm sure you've done it. You've lost weight, but gained it back. Lost weight, gained it back. How many times has this happened? Countless times, probably. I think you probably want to also stop the obsession with food. Stop thinking about every single bite, not just lose weight. Lose the obsession. So as a psychoanalyst specializing in food, weight, and body image issues, I am here to help you navigate a path to healing your relationship to food without counting calories, fat grams, or carbs. I'm going to help you stop binge eating, stress eating, or emotional eating. And on the show, I'm going to help you discover how to lose that obsession and preoccupation, find a way to lose weight for good, and keep it off. So if you're sick and tired of dieting, this show and I have a solution. So in the next few weeks, we're going to focus on a few things. We're going to focus on how to stop behaviors you don't want to do, like how to stop eating when you're bored, how to stop feeling self-conscious, how to stop feeling guilty, how to stop cheating on your meal plan, how to break through the blocks to weight loss. And then it's all about learning to do something different, how to soothe yourself, how to comfort yourself, how to trust your food choices, how to boost your self-esteem, feel in control of food and life. And after that, I'm going to discuss some body-related challenges, you know, like you've heard me talk about the F word and your weight. You're going to have to tune in that day and find out which F word I'm talking about. How to love your body and really ask yourself, what do you want to lose? Because often the wish to lose weight conveys an underlying wish to have some change in your life. And then the final thing we're going to talk about is positive thinking, like why positive thinking actually backfires and what to do instead. So that's what I've got, you know, kind of lined up for the rest of the year with some cool guests in between. And, you know, so join me each week. It's going to be really enlightening. Again, I'm getting a message that some people are having trouble getting through. I am not sure why that is. If you can try again, I'm not seeing any calls pop up on my monitor. So sorry about that, but try again. Okay, so let's talk about how to stop eating when you're bored. Question that I get a lot from a lot of people. Like, oh, I just eat when I'm bored. How do I stop? So if you eat when you're bored, then maybe you can relate to someone I'm going to call Caitlin. And she says, oh, I eat perfectly all day, is what she told me. But when I'm home alone at night, it is a different story. I can't stop eating out of boredom, she told me. Well, the question is, when you eat out of boredom, are you really bored? Boredom is related to the wish to do something. The way to alleviate boredom is to do an activity, to be active and productive. If you don't know what to do or what to do with yourself, or if nothing you do seems to work, maybe something else is going on. Again, Ronan, I'm not getting calls, but I'm getting a Facebook post that they're trying. So I don't know what's going on. Hopefully Ronan, the brilliant engineer, can fix this issue. No pressure, Ronan. Okay, so sorry, callers, if you're trying to call in, we're just having a little bit of technical issue. So if you do things and you still feel that restless feeling and you're still turning to food, then maybe something else is going on. What could that be? A lot of people think they're bored when they're really lonely or empty. Now, loneliness is about wanting to be with someone. The solution to loneliness is to be in the presence of another person or people and to feel connected. So the experience of connection is so important. There is no worse loneliness than when you're feeling alone in the company of others. Ooh, if you've ever had a relationship that where you even live with someone, but you feel lonely when you're with them, it's incredibly painful. So as I've talked about before, people can be unreliable, unpredictable, or unavailable, which means that food, which is reliable, predictable, and available, can become a substitute for relationships. So if you're lonely, maybe you're filling up on food as a way of filling a symbolic emptiness. Emptiness has to do with feeling disconnected from yourself and your needs and other people. But mostly I'm talking about in the context of your relationship to yourself. Oh, I have a call. Hold on. Hold that thought. Hi, caller. Or should I say, because I recognize your number. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Dr. Nina. Finally, I got through.
I'm glad you got through. I'm good. What's going on?
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
The first question, I tried to call back last week when you had that guest on the show. I think David was his name.
Yes.
The trainer. And I was just wondering, I don't know if you can answer or if you're, I'm sure you have the knowledge. But anyways, it's about exercise, like for weight loss. What do you think is a good, like, is it good to do cardio every day, like high intensity cardio? Would you mix it up? Would you, you know, would, like, I try to do, like, dance one day and then Pilates the next day.
you know,
do you have any insights on like the right workout routine?
I cannot give you answers from a training perspective, because that's really a question for someone with that expertise. However, tune in next week when I'm having Craig Ramsey back. Craig Ramsey is a celebrity trainer. He's all over Bravo and has had his own couple of his own shows. And he's brilliant. He really knows his stuff. He was here a year ago, and from popular demand, he's coming back. So that would be question for him.
I'll save that question for next week, Ben, but can I ask you another question?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is going to sound a little crazy, but, like, I get mad at myself when I feel hunger. Like, I'm like, why am I feeling hungry? And it's something I want to work on, because it's like, I guess I want to not feel hungry, but I don't eat. I know it's kind of like disordered thought, but like, I want to get over that. Like, feeling hungry is normal. Like, I should eat. Like, you know, but like,
This is a great question.
Go on.
No, you get to finish your thought.
Okay. No, that's it. I get mad at myself when I'm hungry. I'm like, why do I feel hungry? Like, Nicole, like, don't feel hungry. Like, don't eat. I don't want to eat. So I get mad when I feel hungry.
So first of all, notice the third person, Nicole. Why are you hungry? Sort of talking to yourself. Second person. You're talking to yourself in second person. But let's leave that aside, because that's usually a sign that you're talking to yourself in someone else's voice. Right. But the question is, if I can distill it down, why do you get mad when you're hungry? Why do you get mad at yourself for having natural, normal, healthy human needs? The answer, I have part of the answer, and the other part of the answer has to go to you and your specific associations, but you get mad at yourself for having normal, healthy needs when some shame has been attached to those needs.
Mm. That makes sense. That totally makes sense. I guess maybe like when my mom will eat something and then she'll say to herself, in Farsi, it's translated dirt in my head. Like dirt in my head, like let me die. Why did I just eat that? So like maybe that's kind of the shame. Like she feels shame. So then like I feel shame when I eat, maybe.
That is a very good association. And not only that, it's the idea that there's something wrong with being hungry. Now, being hungry is symbolically it's an expression of a need, and it's a physiological need. And if you feel shame for that, so you're really feeling as if there's something wrong with you for feeling and having a need, and maybe that can get generalized to all needs. Like we all have needs for water, you know, food, shelter, connection, bonding, love, security. And so many of our expressions have to do with like you're hungry for love, you're starving for attention. I mean, look at how we use those kinds of that kind of language to express needs.
Maybe I'm trying to suppress all my needs, like kind of like I'm I don't know, like I don't need anyone, I don't need anything, like I'm content, I feel like I'm enough, I don't know what I'm saying.
So your mind goes to, hey, I don't need anything or anyone, and I'm gonna pretend that I am really just a robot with no needs, and I'm gonna be safe from shame. What to do? You can't talk yourself out of having needs. That never can happen. And you can't talk yourself into feeling a way you don't feel. So what you're trying to do is say, I am an human. I'm a human who's impervious to anything, which is not true, because by virtue of the fact that you are, in fact, human, as far as I can tell.
Right.
So what to
and
do,
I,
wait,
yeah.
what to do is to get to the source of this shame and this, and really deconstruct and challenge this message from your mom that, oh, it's shameful to eat something. It's shameful to have hunger.
Right. Okay. I have to work on that, I think. And then also, I think the other thing is, like, you know, I'm obsessed with this, like, last 5 pounds, and you went into, oh, I love what you did with me when you said, like, if a guy is 5 pounds heavier or 5 pounds lighter, would you like him more or less? And I'm like, no. And then I'm like, well, that's the same with me, because I was, like, obsessed with, like, that last 5 pounds.
Yes.
So I love that. I always go back to that. But I don't know. I don't want to say I'm still fixated on a little bit, but I'm, like, I'm really just, like, into, like, continued growth and being the best that I can be. So, like, I guess part of it is, like, to lose the last 5 pounds, I think I really just have to not eat. So that's why I get mad at myself when I feel hunger.
Well, first of all,
I don't know.
First of all, not eating is going to make it all the more difficult to lose those last 5 pounds, because your metabolism says, ooh, no food, slow down, become more efficient. And then when you do start eating again, it's a lot easier to gain weight because your metabolism has slowed down and become more efficient. So that's first of all. Secondly, why does this 5 pounds make a difference? I think it's great that you're able to remember that other people, when you think about other people and them being 5 pounds heavier or less, it's not going to change the way you feel about them. That's great that you're able to use that.
Yeah.
But what does that 5 pounds mean to you? And I think we're back to shame.
Right.
And that idea, again, I'm not a mother basher, but sometimes moms and dads, but in your case, I don't, you know, moms, gave a message of shame. Shame for being not skinny, as if skinny is good, and anything other than skinny. You talked about when you were overweight as a child and how much shame you felt.
Right.
And so that 5 pounds brings up that sense of shame. So your mom's not around you maybe necessarily to shame you, although she may be, from what you've told me sometimes. But there are two moms.
Right.
There's the mom who's saying these things in reality, and then there's the mom in your head. And it's the mom in your head that's the problem.
Right. And she shames herself in front of me, too. So, like, I witnessed that, and then maybe, like, I shame myself because of that, too.
Yes, you've internalized that rather than, hey, Mom, really? You've got dirt in your brain because you want to eat something? Can we look at that?
Yeah. Or, like, have you heard of Sensa? Do you know what Sensa is?
Sensa?
Yeah, Sensa. It's this pattern of food, and it makes you eat less. And then
that came out a couple of years ago. Yeah. Okay, but you know what?
This
is food is not the problem. Food, whether you're turning to it or away from it, is a solution to the problem. If the problem is shame, then what you're saying is, hey, look, here's a way that I can be not hungry and lose weight, and then I'll be really the good me. My mom will accept me.
Right.
I'll accept me, and I'll be free of shame. What a perfect solution.
Well,
sprinkle something on your food and you're not hungry.
She does that. I don't do that, but I see her do that all the time. Or she'll eat a croissant, and then she'll, like, pop a pill to absorb less of the calories. And I'm like, what are you doing? So, like, that's what I watch. That's what I'm just trying to explain,
what are you doing?
I get it now.
What are you doing? That's exactly right. You're learning, you're seeing, when you watch your mom and her relationship to herself and to food and how she shames herself, that's, you're watching exactly a mirror image of what you're doing to yourself.
Yeah. So I don't want to take up that much more time, but just what can I do to get over that shame? And then I think I can just do the rest of the work on my own off the show.
Well, I think that you need to challenge that internal voice that seems to have come from your mom that says, there's something wrong, that believes there's something wrong with you if, or, you know, with you particularly, if you're not at some magical weight.
Okay.
And that means having to come to terms with some thoughts and feelings towards the person who created this shame in the first place, that some feelings you may not want to feel, like resentment and sadness and anger.
Right. Okay. All right. I'm going to work on that. Thank you so much, Dr. Nina. This has been really helpful. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Nicole. Let me know how you do.
Okay. Okay, I will. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Bye. Yeah. I mean, so often what we intellectually know means nothing. It means nothing. Like, we try to talk ourselves out of what we feel. Well, you can't think your way out of a feeling by telling yourself not to feel it. You can't think your way into a feeling with positive mantras either. You can say, you know, I am, if you don't feel likable or lovable, you can stand in front of a mirror and say, you are likable and lovable. I am likable and lovable. You can say it a million times. You're not going to, you know, the millionth time you say it, you are not going to suddenly feel likable and lovable. You got to figure out what makes you think you are unlikable and unlovable. What ideas created that notion that you're unlikable and unlovable, and challenge that. And that's how you get rid of it, by saying, wait a minute, this comes from this that happened usually in my childhood, and now I've got to look at that. And that's how you heal it, and that's how you get the past out of the present. I am not about regurgitating the past and talking about the past, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. That doesn't do any good. However, when you say, I want to understand how the past is influencing my present, how what happened in the past affects the way I experience the present, then you can do some work. Dig in, work through it, and guess what? Then the past is in the past. Buried underground in a grave, not haunting your present. Okay. And Nicole, I know it's you're still listening. I know it's hard to get in touch with thoughts you don't want to think, feelings you don't want to feel. It is much easier to be like, how can I lose this 5 pounds? Than it is to say, well, why does this 5 pounds is so why is it so loaded? Why is it so infused with shame? Why am I shame-ridden if I weigh 5 pounds more and I get rid of that 5 pounds, I'm free of shame? Where do these ideas come from? What happens is you lose the 5 pounds, and guess what? The shame does not magically go when you lose those 5 pounds. It's not like you look on the scale, you've met your goal, you're 5 pounds less, hallelujah, the shame is gone. Nope. You can't lose shame by losing weight. What happens is it's like, yeah, no, I need to lose another 5 pounds. Then I'll be free of shame. And so on and so on. So got to get to the proverbial root instead of focusing on the weeds. Dieting is a weed. Focusing on 5 pounds or 50 or 100 or 150 or whatever number is on your mind, that's a weed. Get to the root. And those weeds stop growing. Often those weeds have to do with emptiness. And by the way, if you want to join me, as Nicole did earlier, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. Okay, so back to emptiness. Again, it has to do with feeling disconnected from yourself and from your needs. Nicole picked a really good time to call, because that's exactly what I think she's experiencing. Some kind of hostility to her needs creates an emptiness. And when you're not attuned to your thoughts, your emotions, and wishes, you sense something's missing. You sense like a hole. Maybe you want more of something, and that wanting more of something becomes, ooh, I'll have more of that, please, whatever that food is. It can even manifest as physical hunger. yearning and wanting and needing more of something like love and understanding and people and relationships can be felt as physical hunger. So what is the key to stop eating when you feel bored or you think that you're bored? Take a couple minutes and ask yourself, are you really bored? Or maybe, are you lonely? Are you empty? And if you're craving companionship, which is loneliness, then connect with people. Connect with someone. It doesn't have to be a bunch of people. Connect with a person, either on the phone, even via text, any way that you can have some kind of a dialogue and connection with somebody else, even online. If you haven't already, join my online group, Dr. Nina's Food for Thought Community. Someone's always there. There are people from all over the world. So chances are, if you post something like, hey, it's 3 a.m. and I'm feeling lonely, well, you're probably going to get someone who's either, you know, it's there 9 o'clock or who knows. Point is, whether it's my group or any group, connect with people. That will fulfill you and make you feel better. If you feel empty, think about what would be fulfilling in that moment or in an hour from that moment, a week from that. What do you want more of in your life and how can you get it? It's not just enough to sit, to identify with, oh, I want more sense of fulfillment. You know, I want to feel better about what my career. I want to feel better. I'm not speaking of myself, just to make that clear. We use a different example. I want to have a happier family life. You know, what can I do to make that happen? What can I do to come to terms with how it is, not how it might be? So when you start asking yourself questions, you solve the problem instead of distracting yourself from the problem with food. So here's some food for thought. I'm going to ask you guys some questions. And if any of these, you know, resonate with you, just give it some thought. Give it some thoughts. Ask yourself, do you turn to food instead of to people? And if so, consider what experiences have made you afraid to seek out or trust people. Do those experiences need more attention, more healing? Does thinking about food give you something to do? Is it something that is alleviating your boredom? You're thinking about food. You're doing something. And yet that distracts you from what's going on inside. Ask yourself what would be more fulfilling, most fulfilling to you right now. When you're alone, what feelings are the most uncomfortable? What are you afraid you're going to feel if it's just you and silence? What are you going to feel? How did you feel as a child, and how did you deal with those feelings as a child? Also ask yourself, how did your family, how did it, you know, the family you grew up in and the family you perhaps have now, if you have a family, how do they manage being busy or being alone or being reflective? You know, some families are always doing things constantly, and I've heard people say, oh, I was shamed for going to school all week and working really hard. And on Saturday, I just wanted to lie on the couch and chill. And, oh, that was bad. I had to be doing something. And so anytime this person, these people, because I've heard it from multiple people, want to just relax, they now feel that sense of shame. Oh, I'm just being lazy. So, and sometimes eating is a way of just giving yourself a break. It's a way of having some time for yourself. So how did your family growing up manage busyness or being alone? Were they reflective or reactive? And how does your current family and how do you manage being busy or alone or reflection? And guys, I know this is hard. This is hard. I completely understand how difficult it is to think about all of this, to remember things that you don't want to remember, to feel things you don't want to feel. But if something is eating at you, it's not magically going to go away if you don't think about it. It's just going to recycle into your present, and you're going to be going through exactly what you were going through in the past again. Or you're going to get mad at yourself and then just feel bad about yourself. The past does not stay in the past until you resolve it. So I would love to know your thoughts about this. You know, feel free to call me or email me during the week, because sometimes when you have these thoughts, it's so so helpful to share them and to feel like you're truly being heard. And when you're heard and validated and acknowledged, that helps you do the same for yourself. Okay, how are we doing on time? Okay. So we got 20 minutes, guys. If you want to call me, now is the time. 818-602-4929. So let's talk about how to stop feeling self-conscious. Lots of people are self-conscious about being in public. They think other people are judging their appearance. And we feel self-conscious when we think other people are looking at us with critical eyes. And often the way we see ourselves directly impacts our expectations about how other people will see us. So if you believe you're overweight, unattractive, stupid, or bad in some way, not good enough, not enough, too much, if you believe that, it's easy to imagine other people are thinking those same things about you. And by the way, when you think badly of yourself and you treat yourself badly, when you meet someone who's critical of you and treats you not so well, it's not going to feel like that. It's going to feel like, wow, this person really knows me. And then you're going to tolerate treatment you shouldn't tolerate. That's a little side note. Okay. So the good news is that the more that you develop a positive view of yourself, the more that you can experience yourself as likable, lovable, smart, interesting, kind, and good, which doesn't mean perfect, by the way. None of us are perfect. Nobody's perfect. Perfect is not a goal. Don't try to be perfect. You will not get there. But if you try to be the best you you can be and accept your flaws while trying to work on some of them, that's self-acceptance. Then you feel good about yourself. And the more that you can accept yourself, the good, the not so good, the more likely you can imagine other people will accept you too. So one way to stop feeling self-conscious, because if you're walking around in the world going, oh, I hope nobody sees how insecure I am, then you're going to want to hide. You're going to feel self-conscious. Maybe you'll have a face that you show to the world, a mask, and no one would know that you're really feeling insecure, but you're constantly trying to dodge it. So then it's like you're acting a part of your life instead of living, actually living your life. So one way to stop feeling self-conscious is to be an observer instead of feeling observed. And when you focus on what you see, what you think, what you want and don't want, you're less likely to feel under observation. So if you feel like you're walking around with a big spotlight shining on you, you just put it out there to someone else. What does that person think about me? What do I think about that person? What do I think about this situation? It's magical how much less self-conscious you will feel when you get that spotlight and put it on someone else and think about, instead of eyes on you, your eyes out onto the world. So again, when you're focused on what you think, what you see, you're not going to feel self-conscious. You're going to be busy thinking about it. Do I like that? Do I not like it? I don't agree with that. I do agree with that. When you're having those kinds of thoughts, you're not thinking, oh, what are they thinking of me? And you're not trying to hide your true self. So here's some more food for thought, some questions. Let's look at this. What do you imagine other people are thinking about you? What do you think they're thinking? Where do these ideas come from in the first place? And are you as critical as critical of other people as you are of yourself? Because often people are one way to themselves and another way to other people. So they can say to me, you know, oh, I woke up in the morning, I got on the scale, I didn't like what I saw. I was just like, you have to knuckle down, you have no willpower, you gotta be better, how could you have eaten what you ate last night? You suck. And I say, well, my goodness, if you were with a friend and she got on the scale and her scale was not what you expected, would you say all that to your friend? No, never. They always look shocked. I could never say that to anybody. That's mean. Oh, but you can say it to yourself. That's not nice. Don't be mean to yourself. And think about it. When you think about other people, are you only thinking about their appearance? Like when you're asked to describe a friend, do you say, oh, yeah, she's about, 37 and she weighs 135 pounds. No. And she looks like this. You'd say, oh, she's really nice and she's such a good listener and she's very kind and she's motivated to, like, I love how involved she is with her family, or you'd talk about the person, not just simply their appearance. And yet when you're self-conscious, you tend to become very one-dimensional in your mind and think people are only looking at what they see appearance-wise. Ask yourself what you think about people, situations, and ideas instead of feeling frozen in the spotlight, shining on you from the world. You will feel completely different. When your eyes are focused outward, you are far less likely to have a sense that there are eyes on you that you then have to, make yourself cringe and get smaller and hide from view and never go out, and then you're alone in your house, and then, what do you do? Then you're not out with your friends because you're too self-conscious, so maybe you get bored and lonely. Enter the kitchen. So the more that you can feel comfortable with other people, the less you're going to turn to food. So that's how you make peace with food, in part. Okay, here's a good one. Here's another how to stop. How to stop feeling guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Ugh. If you've got guilt, you are not alone. Feeling guilty for what you are eating, and Nicole, this is for you. If you feel guilty for what you're eating, it is distracting potentially from a stronger guilt or shame about having needs and wanting more of anything. So, by the way, what is the difference between guilt and shame? So guilt is about something that either you've done or you haven't done. Guilt references behaviors and actions. So only. So people feel guilty when they think they've done something wrong or when they choose not to take action. So guilt sounds like, oh, I've done something wrong. I really shouldn't have eaten all those carbs for lunch because now I'm going to be tired in the afternoon. Shame is about who you are as a person. It's about your essential character. It's not that you've done a bad thing. It's that there's something essentially bad about you, something wrong with you. So shame is often associated with secrecy, and it leads to isolation, which is kind of what I was talking about before. So shame sounds like, I shouldn't have eaten those carbs. There is something wrong with me. I'm like, I have no willpower. Now it's about you, right? There's something wrong with me versus, there's something wrong with what I did. So guilt is just about what you did. Shame is about how you take what you did or didn't do and make it into an idea that you have, a negative idea you have about yourself, your basic essential self. So how do you get rid of guilt? Let's talk about how we get rid of guilt. You think about something that makes you feel guilty. What is your crime? What are you guilty about? So, I feel guilty for eating pizza, or, I felt guilty for wanting ice cream after working out. Like, I didn't want to undo all that good work I did. So then you identify, what does the behavior mean about you? Oh, I want too much. I have no self-control. I'm completely weak. Right? That's when guilt turns to shame. If your guilt is not attached to food or weight, what might you feel guilty about? Sometimes it's easier to feel guilty about eating the ice cream than it is to feel guilty because you're not happy in your relationship, or you resent certain friends or your family, or you harbor thoughts and feelings that you think you shouldn't have. Easier to feel guilty about your weight than, I feel guilty for wanting to say no to my mom because, she calls me 10 times a day and I don't want to pick up, and I don't want to hurt her feelings. So I'm going to pick up my mom's call, but I'm going to get really mad at myself for eating ice cream. When you can recognize, like, what's the displacement from, what might you be feeling guilty about, and process it, like, it's okay to be mad at someone you love. And you can work through that and process it. And then you don't have to displace your guilt from someone. Let's make it a dad. I got too many mom things today. Let's make it a dad or a sibling. You know, I feel guilty for saying no to my sister or my brother because they're so good to me. So why shouldn't I spend my weekend off helping my brother move? I should be happy to do it. No, you can actually not want to do it. That's okay. Because if you just let yourself say, oh, I don't want to do it, I really want to say no, then you don't have to feel guilty about eating, you know, Oreos or something. What are your rules for yourself about wanting and feeling? For example, lots of people have rules that say, don't want too much, don't be selfish, be happy with what you have because other people have it so much worse. You should just be living in a state of perpetual gratitude. Don't complain, don't be a whiner. Who do you think you are? Is one that I personally have heard and have a lot of people hear. Who do you think you are wanting so much? How grandiose. Don't be so full of yourself. Don't want, don't feel, don't wish. Just be happy with what you've got. And that sets you up for feeling guilty for wanting more of anything. What do you imagine is wrong with your character and your basic essential self? What do you think is wrong? Where is this shame coming from? And these are the answers that I hear often, something along the lines of, I'm so needy, I'm so emotional, I'm really sensitive, I'm too much, I'm not enough, there's something missing in me, I'm not lovable, I am deficient in some way. Right? These are painful, difficult thoughts, especially when you have to look at where did they come from? Where did these thoughts come from? No baby grows up having these thoughts. Babies turn into kids who create ideas about what's going on in their lives, who interpret what's going on and interpret in such a way that they believe themselves and that becomes reality. There's something wrong with me. I feel bad. I'm being treated in a way that makes me feel bad. I must be bad. Shame. And then it's easier to feel bad about what you eat or about what you weigh than about who you are. And binging or stress eating or just any kind of eating that makes you focus on yourself and food takes you away from something deeper. What is another way of looking at this situation and your behavior? Well, here's another way to think about it. You think that you're still learning to identify and process your feelings. Remind yourself, you have spent a lot of time just beating yourself up for crimes you are not committing. It is a whole new paradigm to be curious instead of critical and to be interested in what is going on with you instead of dismissive. So remind yourself of that. Remind yourself that maybe you have conflicts over wanting more out of life for whatever reason. Maybe it makes you feel needy. Maybe you have to remind yourself that wanting more is not bad. It is not shameful. It is not greedy. It is human. Maybe you want to be curious about where in your life you feel deprived so you don't turn to food to get more of something or to express your conflict over wanting more out of life by eating. So if you're wanting more out of life, if you have if you're developing an appetite for life, that's good. Don't displace that onto food. If you have an appetite for life, that means go and live your life. Go travel. If traveling is your thing, go learn that thing that you always wanted to do, but you never did because there was never enough time. Make the time. You always wanted to play the piano. Go play the piano. If you always wanted to play the drums, go learn how to play the drums. If you want to run a marathon, learn how to do it. If you want to go to a meetup, but you've always been too shy and scared, go do it. Find a way. When you are fulfilled in your life, you're not going to use food for that purpose, symbolically. And you know, when you identify and process that core guilt, that core shame, you are less likely to attach it to anything to do with weight, food, or body image. So if it feels like the shame is over 5 pounds, Nicole, the shame is not over 5 pounds. The shame is for what you think that 5 pounds means about you. So if anyone could relate to what I was talking to Nicole about, that idea that losing weight It's not about 5 pounds. It's about shame. And that shame came from somewhere. All right, we only have a few more minutes left, so I'm going to start talking about this. Maybe I can do it in 5 minutes. I think I can. So here's another how to stop cheating on your meal plan. And I love how people say, I'm not on a diet. I'm just following a meal plan. Yeah, meal plan is a diet, just a different semantic way to say it. So if you feel like you're cheating on your meal plan or doing something wrong when you eat an actual carb or fat gram or something that tastes yummy, if you feel like you're cheating, then you want to look at that, because by focusing on food, weight, and body image, you may be cheating yourself out of enjoying many aspects of life, like the joys of connecting with people, feeling close, even enjoying a hug. And ideally, remember, food is one of the pleasures of life. It should not be a battleground. People will say to me, well, I shouldn't like food. I should just eat to fuel my body. I shouldn't want to enjoy it. I'm like, no, of course you should enjoy it. That's the whole point. Food is supposed to be yummy. It's supposed to be good. And by the way, healthy can be good. You're not like, you know, if we were meant to just get nutrients, we wouldn't have restaurants. We wouldn't make our food up. We wouldn't cook. We wouldn't bake. We wouldn't make it good. We just eat astronaut pellets and be like, well, I'm refueled. That was good. So don't turn away from yumminess. You're supposed to like it. Also, we can turn to food, like I was saying before. We can turn to food instead of to people. And if you're focusing on food, weight, and appearance at the expense of your relationships, you can find yourself withdrawing from people. You can find yourself withdrawing emotionally. You can find yourself withdrawing socially from other people, either, as I was saying before, because you feel self-conscious, you don't feel comfortable around other people, maybe you avoid social events, fearing there's not going to be any safe food. What can you eat there because of you've got this meal plan going, right? Or that you're eating too much, or fearing that people are going to be noticing what you're eating or how much you're eating and all of that, or you're going to be judged for how you look. Ask yourself, if you are hungry for love, for attention, for connection, for fulfillment, but you're turning to food as a substitute. These are all reasons people go off their meal plan. And by the way, another reason that you go off your meal plan, which is really a fancy name for a diet, is that deprivation of any kind leads to wanting more of something. If you can't have what you want, you're only going to want it more. And when you have it, you're going to feel so guilty for having it. You're going to have way too much of it. You're going to tell yourself, oh, I'm just going to have this today. Recently, someone said, you know, oh, it's my last supper, so I'm just going to have this. Only that the problem was the last supper became the last supper became the last supper. So to be able to say, I'm not deprived. I can make yummy choices. I can have fulfilling food and fulfilling relationships. I'm not going to use food as a substitute. Then you have that appetite for life. And by the way, so one way, let's talk about one of these. One way to stop using food for enjoyment is to have a simple pleasure of life. For example, here's some things you could do. You could do it right now. You could do it today. You can laugh with a friend. You can call up your friend and tell a joke, tell a funny story, look up something online if you don't know any, give someone a compliment, make them smile. That always feels good. Sing your heart out in the car. You don't care what other drivers think. Just have fun. Belt it like Lady Gaga. Just have a good time. It's fun. And when you're having fun, you're less likely to use food. Read a child a story if there's a child in your life. Call a friend, catch up, smile at a stranger. You'll be surprised. Most of the time, they smile back. And if they don't, that's on them, not on you. So when you enjoy these experiences, when you enjoy life, you are less likely to use food for enjoyment. When you taste all that life has to offer and you enjoy a range of relationships and experiences, you will be happy, you will be satisfied. And when you make peace with your experience of life, you make peace with food. And that's it. That is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me here on LA Talk Radio. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. And if you like the show, please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. The more ratings that we get, the more it reaches other people, the more people we can reach and help. So stay curious, not critical. Be good to yourself and think about what's eating at you instead of focusing on what you're eating. I will see you next week. Bye.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.